Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for bringing us here. And this is a good time for us to remember your promise and remember your words and hearing your commandments from the Bible. Lord, as we are ready to open the Bible and listen to your stories, would you please give us your light and shine our hearts so that we will be able to hear and listen and understand, and we will practice things that we learn from the Bible. Especially, Lord, we pray that bless our children as they are joining our worship service and help them to understand the meaning of worshiping you and praising you with their family members, mom and dad and grandparents and our New Hope Church members. Help them to enjoy this worship service so that we will taste the kingdom of God here at New Hope Church. Bless us and bless all the children. Lord, give me your words to my lips so that I can speak the truth from the Bible and use me as your instrument. We pray, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That was fun. I wonder what's going to be next week. I already have in my mind it's going to be fun next week too. This is the word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes and the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God. Amen. And oftentimes we are wondering about the meaning of worship service. Although we come to church almost every Sunday, we do have our small group meetings. Sometimes you are very confused to define the meaning of the worship. There is an interesting book, John MacArthur wrote a book titled Worshiped, the Ultimate Priority. And I'm reading his book. I read it before, but I forgot. When I'm done reading, I forgot things in the book. So I'm trying to read it again this week. And in his book, he talks about how we worship God. And also, he talks about why we worship God. He explains really well. And he also talks about many other worship-related lifestyle and things from the Bible and something like that. Now, he argues that basically the Bible talks about the importance of worship from the beginning to the end. So basically the Bible, God's Word, teaches us how to worship from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. The entire book is pointing Jesus Christ and help us to worship God. Now he argues that the fall came to the world simply when Adam failed to worship God. That's his argument. By obeying the one command God gave him, so Adam failed to obey God's commandment. That we know that story, Genesis 1 and chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying that you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. This is God's one simple commandment. God didn't give them 10 commandments that we have, but simple commandments. But Adam failed to worship God by failing this commandment. And also, John MacArthur mentioned about what Jesus said about worship in Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. This is quoted from the Bible. Hear, O Israel, which is Jesus is talking about Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love your Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. So John argues that this is Jesus is teaching us giving everything to the Lord, which means worshiping God. And he understands this particular verse as a call to worship. God calls us to worship him. So basically, Bible tells us how to worship God, how to praise God. And the Bible teaches us that worship is the center of Christian's life. Not just only Sunday worship, but every day we worship God. That has to be the center of our life every day. It happens in every day of our life, not only our Sunday worship. In other words, praising God and give him honor and glory and worshiping Christ and the Holy Spirit should be the center of our daily activities in life. And Psalm 144, verse 9 says, I will sing a new song to you. The psalmist doesn't say that we are making a new song every day, but it simply means whatever we sing, whatever we do, we make a new heart and give it to the Lord. That is a new song to you. That means we worship God every day as like making a new song. That is our call. So when we come to church, we have that mind. We give thanks to God and we praise him. And we give him our life and everything as a new song to him. Now, when we come to church to worship God, particularly Sunday, we hear from people saying, praise the Lord, even from our children, praise God. And then praise God. It sounds really good to us, and we are so happy to hear that. As we are Christians, and we hear this praise God, and we also say, people, praise God, praise the Lord, and to other people, even when we come to church. Then sometimes we hear people say different things, the meaning of praise. Sometimes people say, I really enjoy praising God today. And it comes reason, because it really touched my heart, songs that I sang today, and this is my popular or my favorite song, my hymn. Or people say, I like to sing like a slow praise hymns and songs rather than fast hymns. Now think about this, what people said. Does this sound familiar to us? Sometimes we love to praise God and we say praise the Lord because simply it makes us feel good, just feeling good. I mean, we just like some particular music styles and tunes, and sometimes we don't like some particular music at all. Well, music tunes and lyrics and speed are important elements of the songs. We have to think about that. But sometimes we forget why we praise God. Why we praise our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our intention to praise God or our purpose to praise God has been sometimes wrongly set up. We can't deny that people love to go to big church, mega church, and the church have lots of good praise band team. That we can't blame that, but sometimes people, not everybody, I'm saying not everybody, sometimes people out there, their intention is a little bit wrongly set up. Sometimes it happens to me, and if it happens to you. Because we are focusing too much on music style or sometimes personal preferences rather than God. So my intention today is bringing our hearts to God only. Many Christians are seeking for nice music or concert, but rather than a true worship. Jesus said, the hour is coming and it is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. We hear what Jesus says. God is looking for true worshipers. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, I agree that we'll bring best music with contemporary music or traditional music. We can bring all music. If we are true worshipers, it's not about music and style. It's all about our hearts. God is looking for true worshipers, not just a simply good, nice, wonderful music concert. And we better remember this. The meaning of the praise God is, it's all about God. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of how much we are feeling good or bad about the songs and music styles and or worship styles, but it's not a matter of our personal preferences of worship styles, but it's all about God. It's the matter of our God. So we're going to look at the meaning of praise God from our text or even from the Old Testament. The meaning of we praise God and lift his name above all, that's simply praise God. The praise God means we should brag of God's decree. Not ours, but God's decree. We are boasting of who God is. That's praising God. And we are singing his majesty because God is an awesome God. That's the meaning of praise. That is true meaning of praise God from the Old Testament. Praise God is not about us. It's all about the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's about God. That's why Psalm 113 is really important. Psalm 113 opens with our familiar praise. Praise the Lord. And then this phrase is repeated again and again throughout all verses until the end of the verses. And this Psalm 113 answers our question, what is the meaning of praising God and how do we learn about to praise God? So this psalm teaches us two things I brought to you today. The first one is, why do we have to praise the Lord? And then the second is, how do we praise the Lord from Psalm 113. But I'm going to tell you, this is not standard answer. We just squeeze everything to these two answers. It's from only Psalm 113 that we learn from Psalm 113. Why do we have to praise God? And secondly, how do we praise the Lord? So basically, we will be thinking of why and how today. Now, first one, why do we praise the Lord? Simply, we praise God because of his majesty that we know, that we have experienced. And in verse 4 says, the psalmist says, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Now, the ESV says, the Lord is high above all nations, and the NIV says, the Lord is exalted of all the nations. The hearing the word exalted, we remember Jesus Christ who was exalted with the power of God, resurrected, who is seated at the right hand of God right now. So the meaning of exalted and high means very special to the Christians. It's different. It's really a high, powerful God and holy God. Basically, the psalmist was singing about God's majesty that we cannot see in the world from anything else. It simply means in the entire whole world that we see, we live here, there is no one like our God. There is no one like our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a reason for why we praise God. Now, listening to that phrase, there is no one like him, then do we have that mind sometimes? Maybe. And the psalmist says, you are above all things. Another meaning is, you are the sovereign God still controlling everything of the world. And nothing compares to you. That's why Psalm 113 verse 5, he says, who is like the Lord our God? So thinking about our God, thinking about Jesus Christ, his majesty is awesome and great and higher than anything else. And Isaiah chapter 40 verse 18 says the same thing. To whom then will you liken God? Then what likeness compare with him? Because he is high above and the Lord is exalted. we praise God. We praise God of His majesty, incomparability, and His glory. And our God is greater than all else, which stands for power of the world. That's majesty. God's majesty is superior to the greatest example of human power. And then all the powers of the world cannot stand before God, and we say incompatibility, because our God is enthroned above all the nations. That's what verse 5 says. That is the reason for the Reformed Christians to praise God, the sovereign God, exalted Lord Jesus Christ. That's a theologically very strong, also biblically right to say, we praise God because God is exalted. But my question comes here. Where do we find God's majesty in our lives? That's kind of practical questions. John Calvin says, we see God's majesty in creation. We find God's majesty when we see God's creation around us, even Spokane. We praise God when we recognize God's awesomeness, His great power in creation, even children's life. We find God's majesty even in our church, how God is operating our church, how God is using our church to bring the message of Jesus Christ to the world. The Psalm 95, verse 3 and 6 says, the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. So above all God, He is great. He is doing something. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. So the psalmist invites people to come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Sometimes we need to look at the world around us. We had a lot of rain yesterday, but look at the world. It's so beautiful. Look at the trees and the animals around us, the sky and the sea. Even look at yourself. If we look at our beautiful children today, how can we stop praising God? Little babies, that's amazing. So looking at our church and creation and everything around us, we see, we feel, we know God's majesty, His almighty power. Now, although we are living in a scientific world, there is no one who fully understands the mystery of God's creation, His power, His sovereign power. Well, we know, because the Bible tells us that there is nothing to compare with God's power and God's wisdom. And God's majesty is found in His creation. And His creation is amazing and awesome. The world does not exist automatically, but it's here because God created us. That's why Psalmist said, verse 4, His glory is above the heavens. Looking at the creation, everything, we praise God. And we praise God because of His compassion. That's verse 6. And verse 6 says, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth. Now the psalmist describes here that God is not only sitting at the high throne on heaven, but He graciously stoops down and to look on the look from the heavens and then look at down all the people. That's verse 6. Now, God does not ignore us. That's the important part of my sermon today. Because He is compassionate to us, to the human beings. Because of God's compassion, His love and grace toward us, we know what happened. John 3:16. He Himself came down. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16, He Himself came down from the heaven to the world, this place, in the form of a human being to save us, to share God's love, to prove that God loves us. God will never abandon us. Even Romans 8 teaches us nothing else, nothing in the world can separate us from from our relationship from God. His compassion, His love is always with us, and we are strongly bonded together with His compassion and love. That's why Jesus came to the world. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6 and 8, and who being in a very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Why? Why God made himself nothing? Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in heaven human likeness, and became obedient, even death on a cross. So if we think of God's compassion, His love, He emptied Himself. He just gave up everything, just one reason, to save us. So we praise God. Wow, Lord, thank you so much. Whenever we read this passage in even Philippians chapter 2 or Romans, and wherever God says God's love for us, we clearly see His compassion toward us. He is the Creator. He loves us. He loves His creation. He loves all the people here. Being a human being is the greatest moment for expression of God's compassion toward us. That's why we sang this morning, Jesus loves me. How do we know? Because the Bible tells. If you sit down, read the Bible carefully, every part of the Bible, every verse, you will see how much God loves us. That's why Jesus Christ came to us. God fulfilled His promise to prove His love. That's why we praise God. That's this psalm teaches us. Who looks far down on heavens, on earth. He's not far away, but He's with us. The third one, we praise God because of His mercies. In the verse 7, the psalmist says, He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. Very simple. God takes care of the lowly people, including us, everybody. God takes care of His people, even the poor people. God takes care of the marginalized people. We talked about this one a few months ago. While the world doesn't care about the people, there's no justice, there's no mercy. The people out there, probably the world out there, the world doesn't know how to take care of the poor and the needy. But the psalmist says in verse 7, our Heavenly Father graciously takes care of all the people and people's needs. That's why we praise God. God concerns about the needy, the poor, and the women in distress. But Jesus says also, from the Bible also, Deuteronomy chapter 15, God says, there will be always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy in your land. Somehow it's really related to our mission work. If we say we praise God because of His mercies, but if we don't help people, we're not praising God. There will be always poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy in your land. Even James from the New Testament talking about an act and faith. James said, show me your faith. We say God is merciful. We say, we declare that we have experienced your love and your mercy. But oftentimes we forget that because we don't open our hearts. And we ignore God's command from the Bible. God's great mercy was found also in the New Testament when Jesus Christ came to the world. He says in Matthew chapter 4 and 23 and 25. When Jesus came to the world, he went throughout all the cities and synagogues and to take care of these marginalized people, lowly people, the poor people. And then Jesus healed every disease and sickness among the people and preached the good news of the kingdom of God to the poor. That's what Jesus did. So from Jesus' story, from our psalm today, we know that God takes care of our diseases, our sickness and troubles and pains and agonies as well. God takes care of you and me, and He shows His mercy and grace to us every day. That's why we praise God. When we carefully think of or look back and reflect about our lives, we will see and find God's mercies upon us every step of our life. Great example is about ourselves and our sins. We are sinners. But we are forgiven by God's mercy. Because of Jesus Christ, because of His death on the cross, because of His resurrection, because of His ascension, because of His promise coming back to us, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we became His people. That's why we praise God. Now, simply thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must praise God every day. The last one is, God listens to our prayers. That's why we praise Him. And in verse 9, it says, He gives the barren woman a home, making her a joyous mother of children. Now, we know that this is about Hannah's prayer. We looked at Hannah's prayer last year, I believe. That's when we look at a study about a prayer. When Hannah was in distress and as a barren woman, and then God listened to Hannah's prayer and He gave her a baby. His name is Samuel. We know that. And then Hannah said, in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2, there is no, same thing, there is no holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. We talked about this verse a few months ago. Now from the experience of Hannah, the psalmist teaches you and me that there is really no one like our God, no one like our God who takes care of us. God's mercies and His divine intervention into the life of a human being is a source of our praise, which means we know that God will answer. We know that God will hear our prayers. That's why we praise God when we come to church or when we just pray to God every day. We know that God hears our prayers. That's why we praise God. Now then, how do we praise the Lord? The psalmist also says about that. Verse 2 and 3. We praise God now and forever. That's a challenge. Now and forever. And we praise God in everywhere. In verse 23, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. And from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Verse 2 and 3 tells lots of things. It teaches that praising God is not limited by time or space or our circumstances. The praising God is extended throughout all the nation, all the time, and all the spaces. Doesn't matter we are suffered. It doesn't matter we are going through very difficult moments. We need to praise God. Basically, everywhere and in every time throughout our lives, we need to praise God. That's God's command. We have to praise God everywhere, not only in the church. We have to praise God every moment in our lives. The question is, do we praise God all the time? Well, I try, but very difficult. I know that. Do we praise God forevermore? Now, when God provides us good things, when God answers our prayers, it's very easy for us to praise Him. Oh, thank God, praise you. Right? We give thanks to the Lord because what we wanted, God granted us. However, think about this. When we are in when we are in troubles or when we are suffering with something, like financially or physically or spiritually or so many different reasons, if we are struggling, do we really praise God? Now, we should not misunderstand this one meaning of praise God. Praising God here, what the psalmist is saying is, bring your heart to God. It's not about just saying good words to God. But bring your heart to God. Probably, we don't even want to think about God at all when we are in troubles, when we are suffering. Probably, we are not able to praise God because we are suffered and because of many painful experiences and painful moments we have. Probably, we are not able to praise God because we have so much things to worry about. We are worrying about too much things about our lives. There is no room for God in our hearts. Now, we know the story from the Bible, Joseph. Just simply looking at his life, Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. Joseph's brother hated him and sold him to other people, Ishmaelites. And he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and he was wrongly put in the prison. So thinking about his life, there is no reason for him to praise God. But Genesis 15:20, he said, this is what he said. He never blamed God, but rather he recognized that everything was in God's control. And he said, you meant evil against me, but God meant it good for me. Everything happened to him. He knew that that's God's plan, so he praised God. And Jesus said in Matthew 16:32, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus promises us that God knows everything about us, even though we are suffering right now. Even though we are going through a very difficult moment right now. Even though we think that God is not listening to our prayers. All these difficult moments, God knows our needs. God knows our pains. God knows our hearts. God knows everything about us. So the psalmist invites us, therefore, praise God. In a time of suffering, in the time of troubles, in the time of uncertainty, in the time of conflictions and difficulties, which means everywhere and every time we praise God. Bring your problems to God. Bring your complaints to God. Bring your hearts to God. Don't go somewhere to find answers. The Bible oftentimes says that God is a spring. The water comes out of the spring. And in Jeremiah, God says, Israelites, what you did is finding another spring. Don't go to the world. Don't go somewhere to find the truth. God knows everything. Jesus is your answer. So, in your suffering, in your trouble, in your uncertainty, bring your heart and praise God. The meaning of praise God is actually to brag about our Heavenly Father. Boasting about God alone and Jesus Christ alone. Boasting about God's majesty. And that's so powerful that we will forget about our pains and what we have right now. Because God's majesty is overshadowing us. And His compassion, His mercy for us. That is praising God. Whether we are in good condition or we're distressed, we should not stop praising God. The name of the Lord must be praised by you and me, by us, from now and forever and everywhere. Remember what the psalmist says, who is like the Lord our God? There is none like our God. I heard many, many years ago, I heard a little girl said to her daddy, I love you. I also heard a man said to her, I love you too. And then the father asked the girl, hey, why do you love me? The It's kind of a challenging question to the little one. The kid said, I love you because you are my father. The children's language, you are my daddy. Now, this little girl was Grace. She used to say to me, I love you. And she said, I love you because you are my daddy. No reason. She didn't say, I love you because you gave me food and house and clothing and toys and everything. She didn't say it. It's very simple. It struck me. Because I always ask God, God, bless me. Give me something. Do something. Protect me. My future. There is none like our God because He is our Father. So we need to praise Him because He is our Father, although we don't have anything. Do you love God? Do you really love God? I think our answer will be like this. Yes, we love God because you are my Father. Romans 8:15. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above all heavens. We know that He's here. And we need to praise Him. Let's pray together. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here today to think about praising you and give you honor and glory. Lord, things around us, things in the church may distract us because we are trying to follow things of the church, making us happy and not becoming true worshipers, but try to be finding good churches, good worship styles. Lord, would you please correct our faith? It doesn't matter where we go, big church, mega church, contemporary church, traditional worship service styles, wherever we go, we want to praise you because you are our Father. We have enough reason to praise you, even though we are suffering right now, even though we don't have anything right now. Help us to remember these things and help us to praise you from now and forever, everywhere. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.